What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Got a message here on Twitter. Mike is like a bunch of attorneys I have dealt with for a lot of years. He thinks his view is the only view that people should see, and those that see things in any other way cannot be taken seriously. Mike, and this, like, to my point that I initially started with, if you like, and I said, and he basically confirmed it, which is, if you're a Democrat, you liked what Biden did last night. And if you are not a Democrat, then he really wasn't speaking to you, because the purpose of that speech last night was to prove to his base, to prove to Democrats that he is still fit, he is still agile, he is still healthy enough to be commander-in-chief, to allay concerns. That's why he front-loads all of the more popular stuff among the most left-wing part of his base. He puts all that stuff in the front, and he waits until the very end of the speech to talk about Israel and the pier of peace in Gaza, which, to me, it's like, this is going to be a terrible idea. But we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Let me get over here and get Dave on first. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Pete?
Hey, I'm good. What's up?
Hey, I was just wondering if anybody noticed last night when I was watching him, like, jump between teleprompter, losing his words. Every now and then he would look down, look like he had a prepared notebook, maybe the speech down there.
Yes.
But he'd turn like 20, 30 pages at a time and then just glance back up again. Is that like just a prop or something?
It is the speech. So there are hard copies of it in front of him in case the teleprompters go down.
Wouldn't you think they would just like turn like one page at a time, make it look like he's doing something instead of like grabbing a handful of pages and just flipping them over?
Well, no. Well, because you're reading the teleprompter, you're going off the teleprompter, and then when you look down, then you're probably 3, 4, 5, 6 pages back, and they write in really big letters too, so you can see.
Yeah, probably pictures for Joe too.
Oh my goodness, that's all right. Thank you, Dave.
Hey, the other thing is, yeah, he seemed really wiry last night. I'm wondering if some of that coke they found at the White House might not have been his.
Ah, wrong. I gotcha. That's a twofer. There you go, Dave. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, Pete. All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right, see. Well, no, you're not supposed to recognize any difference in Joe Biden's performance. You're not supposed to recognize that. You're not supposed to recognize that he gets slurry and tired and forgetful, all these other appearances. This is the only appearance that matters. This is the one that everybody wants you to focus on from now on. This is it. No more. Jimmy, welcome to the show. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, Pete.
What's up?
Pretty good. So me and my roommate watched it last night, and, you know, inflation is just tearing us up. I'm having to drip in the old 401k, and, you hit the nail on the head. The speech wasn't about none of that stuff. It was about shoring up the base. And all I saw was an old man yelling at a tree.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and there's the perfect picture that's now, you know, a meme on social media, which is Biden screaming, Mike Johnson sitting off behind him with this look, like an eye roll of a kind of a look, and it's now being used for all sorts of other memes. But that was it. That's the speech last night. The Republicans, I was told, I do a live hit in the on Friday mornings with the radio station up in Raleigh in Greensboro, and with the morning guy Casey O'Day, and I was talking with him, and he said that the Republicans only stood and joined in the applause for a standing ovation 2 times out of like 85 times. And that is you could say some of that is on the Republicans, that they should have stood for more of them, but that's only 2 out of 85. That's also the speech that's being delivered. If you're not even trying to get the Republicans to stand up and applaud for you, then that's on you, you know? And I think that came through loud and clear. Jimmy, I appreciate the call. Let me play this clip. This is number 4. Hang on a second. Let me pull up my audio sheet. Clip number 4. This is where he attacks the U.S. Supreme Court. And this is like, there's no other way that I heard this. I know people on the left will dismiss this and hand wave it away, but here's what he said to the Supreme Court, the members of which, except for like Clarence Thomas, he was like, I'm not going to be anywhere in the room with Joe Biden. Here's what he says to the Supreme Court.
Many of you in this chamber and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom. My God, what freedom else would you take away?
What freedom else?
Look, it's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following. And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you were right about.
And he slurred off the last part of that sentence. I have no idea what he said. I'll back it up here.
Justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you were right about.
Just how much you're... They literally wrote the sentence, right? They literally wrote the sentence that women are not without electoral or political power. And what does he do? He weaponizes it against him. He's like, you're about to find out. Why would they be about to find out? They've literally said to you, they have electoral and political power. If they would like to write a law that does this, then that's the proper way to do it. You don't go and write legislation from the bench. And by the way, everybody that's like, oh, this is such a good issue, and, you know, oh, Roe v. Wade got overturned, and now Republicans are learning. Like, this was always the way it was supposed to be, is all of these fights occurring at the state level. That's what people like me have been arguing for 20 years, is that the federal court, never should have stepped in and taken from the state legislatures, the decision that should have been theirs. This is what these fights are supposed to look like. It's messy, right? They're at the state level, though. We are deciding at the state level these policies for ourselves. That's as it should be. But he uses it to attack the court. I don't get it. Tom, welcome to the program. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Pete. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. What's up?
Tell you what's up. I watched President Joe Biden from beginning to end, and he was awesome. He hit all the right notes. He said the right thing, not just for the Democrats, but for those honest Republicans that Nikki Haley's probably going to bring his way. And I just think he just made a wonderful speech. I listened to everything from even him saying that to the Supreme Court, saying that women have the electoral power, and you just kind of agree that should be with the state. Mm-hmm. So I think Biden's going to be your next president, and he's proved tonight that he can stay up past 9 o'clock. He's good to go, and he was there till they cut the lights off.
Yeah. So you see this as proof that he is not mentally or physically diminished?
The whole world should see it, not just the
right.
United States. The whole world should see it, that he hit the right spots. He said, "We're gonna."
That's not what I asked. That he's not mentally and physically diminished at all.
Why would he be mentally or physically diminished? I mean, you heard the speech.
He's 81 years old.
Let me say this. He said, you read it. You remember he said that? I'm saying you heard it. So why would you try to put anything of mental incapacity there when it was perfectly a sharp, brilliant speech?
Because I didn't think it was. But and we have different opinions on that, and I'm fine with you having a different opinion on what we both witnessed.
We both agree to disagree, because I'm going to tell you, some dishonest, not talking about you, I'm not going to do like the Supreme Court, some dishonest Republicans would not ever see anything good that Joe Biden did, but the honest, true Republicans and those that Nikki Haley won, they will see that he's the man for the job, and it's not about age, as he said, but it's about wonderful ideas.
Right. So when I asked you whether or not he was mentally or physically diminished, and you say no, now I don't believe that you're an honest broker. Because Tom, you just called me dishonest, so I'm going to return the favor. No, you did. No, you did. You did it in a backhanded way. No, Tom, you did. Like, I mean, don't gaslight me. Don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining, okay? I understand what you just did to me, so I'm just going to return the favor to you, and I'm going to say that now you're not being honest with me because I remember Joe Biden from 8 years ago, from 12 years ago, when he was Barack Obama's running mate. And Joe Biden has been in politics for a very long time, right? And he's given a lot of speeches, and he is diminished. He absolutely is when you compare him to what he was like 12 years ago. 16 years ago.
Well, we agree to disagree, but let me say this.
That's just completely insane.
I'll just let me say this, and I'll listen to the rest of your show. I think that he will or has won over a lot of people. Nikki Haley supported, and I thank God for Nikki Haley. I wouldn't vote for Trump, but if I had to vote for anybody, it would be Biden. And then I look at Nikki Haley. She did a great job.
Yeah.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. Yep. Take care. Yep. Tom, I appreciate the call. Tom represents Nikki Haley's base there quite well in the primaries. So I appreciate the insight there, Tom.
All right. So maybe you've heard by now, DraftKings Sportsbook is coming to North Carolina, right? Less than a week away. On March 11th, sportsbooks are legal in the Tar Heel State. DraftKings is one of America's top-rated sportsbooks with same-game parlays, money lines, and props. The best features like odds boost and live betting and social betting groups where you can share your bets with friends in real time. That's pretty cool. DraftKings is safe, it's secure, it's reliable, and best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. And it all starts on March 11th. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, do it now, and then you get to place your bets on your favorite sports once it goes live. Remember to use my name, Pete, as a promo code. That is P-E-T-E. Mm-hmm. And again, it goes live on March 11th. And now to do the disclaimer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Eligibility restrictions apply, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. See terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC.
See, the thing about political science people is that we enjoy it. Never get into an argument with a political science major because sooner or later you realize they enjoy it. This was from the Associated Press. Headline, Biden uses feisty State of the Union to contrast with Trump, sell voters on a second term. Yeah. He didn't sell anybody that was, I will tell you this actually. I am now closer, darn near close, to voting for a major party candidate for the first time after watching the speech last night. I've never voted for a Republican or a Democrat for president ever. It's always been my protest vote. I'm now thinking I'm going in and voting for Trump because of what I saw last night. It's the gaslighting. That guy screamed at me for an hour. And yeah, maybe I'm taking it a little personally because I'm actually a voter that, you know, that I didn't vote for Trump last time. So he's not actually talking to me, but he is kind of screaming at me too. At the same time, he's yelling at me. And the stuff that he is doing, the stuff that he is saying, they are guilty of that, which they accuse you. And if I am to believe everything, all the worst things that you've said about Trump in your speech, but then I also, because I follow all of these things, right, I know what you've been doing, like when you celebrate the fact that the Supreme Court told you you don't have the authority to forgive student loan debt, and then you did it anyway. And everybody's like, yeah! Okay, well, that's kind of an authoritarian impulse, but it's for the right reasons. Doesn't matter to me. See, because that's my issue, right? So it seems like if you're both trying to amass power, that's a wash, right? Neither one of you is interested in stripping down the authorities that have been gobbled up by the executive branch over the decades, right? Neither one of you are interested in doing this. Okay, so that's my issue. Neither candidate is offering me anything. And in the past, I've always said, okay, well, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and not vote for one of these major party candidates. I'm going to vote for a Libertarian, and hopefully you'll take my protest vote and maybe pick up some of these campaign platforms. Or the planks in the platform. Here's the problem. The reaction to this speech is proof that the media does not intend to ever hold Joe Biden in check on his authoritarian impulses. They do that for Trump, though. So that's actually a mark in favor for Trump. Because if I have no, if there's no way for me through the press, through the media, there's no way for the media to constrain these impulses that obviously Joe Biden has, because his whole speech last night was full of them. And this desire that he has, he takes glee in, and the Democrats do too, in heckling and hectoring the Republicans. If this is the norm that you guys are interested in having, then you know what? I would like to have a media that pushes back on that norm, because Trump will do it, right? Trump will play that game. And look, I have long said the Supreme or the State of the Union speeches are boring. They're pointless. It's just a laundry list of things that they wish will happen and then never do. I'm awesome. I did these things, right? So when it comes to like the screaming and shouting, I'm fine with it. I really am. Like, I'm fine with the people yelling at Biden, and Biden apparently is fine with it too. So, okay, let's just do it, right? Let's just do it, you norms protectors. Let's do it. Let's have at it, right? Joe Biden went in there and needled Republicans, pushed them in a Wellstonian memorial fashion, right? Push them to react, and when they reacted, he then, oh, what? Huh? Is that what you're saying? Oh, you could have fooled me, guys. Like, that's the way our president behaved at the State of the Union, which is not the way presidents behaved in the past. So now we have a new standard. And you know me, I am all about a consistent application of the standard. So here's the standard now. We're going to have like the House of Parliament in the UK where they yell and scream at each other, right? Order, order. We're going to have all of that. We're going to have the screaming and yelling at each other. So let's do it. Why not? Why not? Oh, and also, I've noticed this too. Katie Britt, who did the rebuttal afterwards for the Republicans, and she was sitting at a kitchen table, and apparently, if you are a female, you are not allowed to do a political thing like that, a speech, sitting at a kitchen table talking about, quote, kitchen table issues, because you're a woman. But if you're a man, then you are allowed to sit at a kitchen table and talk about kitchen table issues. Again, I don't make these rules, people. I'm just telling you what the Democrats and media, but I repeat myself, what they have set out as a new standard. Ladies, you are not allowed to sit at a kitchen table talking about kitchen table issues. Oh, that's only for dudes.
All right. Do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay. So what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply at CarolinaReadiness.com. Whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
Let me get to your calls now. This is Brian. Welcome to the program, hey, Brian. How are you?
Hey, good show. Thank you. Long-time sure. listener. I just want to, for all those out there who are still questioning Biden's sanity, it was a turning point for me the second time he was confused about when and where his own son died. Now, just recently, he did it a third time on ABC News right in front of George Stephanopoulos, and I guarantee you if it had been Trump that was saying it, George would have, after the comments, said, well, that's a lie, of course, but he let it slide. But for all those who still question his sanity, how can someone's father not know when or where their own son died?
Yeah, he has told different stories. I think it's actually more than three. It's now become almost a running joke, which is sad because it is still about the death of, you know, an individual person. But yeah, like he uses his son's death in all these different occasions.
Well, why does the media expose that and just play it and say, look, if you don't know when your own son died, you're a nut.
Well, because they know what callers, you know, Mike and Tom refuse to acknowledge, which is that his mental acuity is diminished. But they don't want to say that. Media doesn't want to highlight that, so they just breeze past it. Tom and Mike can't just breeze past it because I am asking them directly. So they have to say, no, it's not at all diminished. And that then lays bare the lie that they are honest brokers.
True. And, well, to anyone who questions it, Google is your friend. Just look it up.
For now.
For everyone to hear and see.
Yeah. All right, Brian, I appreciate the call, man. Let me jump over and get, this is Rhonda. Hello, Rhonda. Welcome.
Hi, Pete. I'm first time caller, so
welcome.
Hopefully I won't ramble and I won't
that's all right.
Not be able to make my point because I might be a little bit nervous.
Hey, Rhonda, if you ramble, then that's just less time for me to have to fill, and so you're basically doing my job for me, so I'm fine with that. It's Friday.
Well, normally I don't get to listen to you except on my lunch break, and today I'm off because I work tomorrow, so I'm really glad I was able to listen to the majority of your show so far. And while I've been on hold, I was thrilled to hear you say that if you have to be torn between two evils, that you would be leaning towards Trump. Because I called in because the gentleman said that he felt that the speech last night would reach out to Nikki Haley voters.
Yeah.
And he's completely delusional. I waited an hour and a half in the state of South Carolina to vote the primaries, and I was pretty much in a state of flux the whole time because I did vote for Donald Trump for president last time. But I think he's too old, and I think he's had his shot. And so I did vote for Nikki Haley, much to my family's chagrin. But I did vote for her because I felt that that was the better alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, I did make myself watch the State of the Union address because I get my news from WBT. I long gave up on the drive-by media.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that it was important that I needed to see Biden myself and not get somebody else's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in fear. I'm in fear for our country because he is not capable. He and Nancy Pelosi, and I'm so sorry I feel this way, but they look embalmed. They just look so frail.
Right.
And
well, to me, Rhonda, that's just part of it. Yes, they're old, but my concern then is that there are people around them that are actually, I'm not saying like, you know, pulling the strings like a puppet master, but these aides and staffers, chief of staff, you know, Klain and the like these people who are around the president and are around every president, they are the ones that seem to me to be calling a lot of the shots. The problem now is that if they have authoritarian impulses to try to amass power in their office, then they will be counting on the media to ignore those efforts and those impulses. And that cannot stand. Whereas with Trump, that the media is going to play that defender of democracy role. They want to play it. I would not be surprised if secretly they go in there and they vote for Trump all the time, just in order to keep him as a prospect. Because right. And so if they're going to hold him in check and they're not going to hold Biden in check, and if the coverage of this speech last night is any indication of it, then I'm out. I'm out. Now I'm worried because the stuff he was saying, the way he was talking about half of the country, is alarming to me. I understand Trump's speech is alarming to the other half of the country, but at least there's a media that pushes back on him. There's not that with Biden.
No, and I mean, if we are forced, which I think we will be, to choose between the two, there really is no other choice, because I do believe that as arrogant and as mouthy as Donald Trump is, I still think that he would keep us safer and he would do more to protect us. I don't like you said, I don't like knowing that who is supposed to be my president really isn't my president.
Yeah.
that Rhonda, I'm being told to do things by somebody that I probably wouldn't even invite to sit at my dinner table.
Yeah. No, I got you. Well, you're not allowed to do that at a dinner. Well, if it's in the dining room, you're allowed to do that. I learned this last night with Katie Britt. If you're a female, you're not allowed to do this stuff at the kitchen table.
Yeah, well, I'm a very strong, opinionated woman, and she was just fine at the kitchen table for me.
There you go. All right, Rhonda, I appreciate the call. Call back anytime.
Thank you, Pete, and thank you for all you do. You're great.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. You're the productive member of the society. I just sit and watch State of the Union, so you don't have to. No, I appreciate the call. It's great to hear from you. Have a great weekend. Let me get over here and get Kathleen on the program. Hello, Kathleen.
Hey. Hi, Pete.
Hello. How are you?
Hey, just a little bit like Wanda. I wanted to say I'm very glad that you are now considering to actually vote for Trump. And just wanted to say that because really Biden, I don't really think it's his age. It's he's just incompetent. His
right.
mind is not as sharp as it may have been. And so, Ms. Haley kept bringing that up about the age. Well, you know, you can be older and extremely sharp. So, unfortunately, President Biden is not that.
Right.
And the other thing I just wanted to say is that some people don't like Trump, but I'll tell you what, he loves the country. He likes all the people in the country, not just a certain, type. And he will take care of that border. He'll clean up crime again, and he'll get the crazy inflation down.
So
that's why I want him back in.
No, I got you. I understand. I understand all the arguments that people make for Donald Trump. I understand the arguments. I always caution: do not fall in love with a politician because they will break your heart. But I do appreciate the call, Kathleen. What was there something that you said there about the? Oh, I forgot what it was. Now it has escaped me. It was about the age. Yeah, I've been saying this for a while, which is, it's not the age. And I know media and Democrats, but I repeat myself, are trying to make the criticism of Joe Biden just about his age. It's not his age. It's the decline in mental acuity. And he is diminished. He is physically and mentally diminished, as 99% of the people who reach his age are and would be. And to deny that, as we've had two Democrats on the program today say so, it's not believable to anybody with eyes in their head. Now, you could say he's doing fine for an 81-year-old. Okay. But he is diminished. So is Trump. Mike was always about, what about Trump? So is Trump. Sure. Yeah. These are our choices. So why deny it? That's what I don't understand. Like, why deny that he has been diminished by age? Father Time is undefeated. To Pete at thepetecallinershow.com is the email. State of Disunion from, this is from Dan, who says, by the way, at 2 o'clock, I have a guest. We're going to talk about something a little different, but kind of related. It's federal spending related. I'll circle back, like Jen Psaki, who, by the way, I have an audio clip of Jen Psaki. So I'll circle back to Jen Psaki, just like Jen Psaki would. Okay. Dan says, I saw the title of your, the live hits I did this morning, and I chuckled. After I shut off the State of the Union, after about 20 minutes, the headline I came up with was Angry Old Man to Use the Coercive Power of Government in Extra Constitutional Ways to Attack Those Who Don't Fall into Line, Saving Democracy. The speech resembled an angry pro wrestler interview, but lacking the entertainment value. Maybe Vince McMahon can coach him. Well, I am sure looking forward to more government coercion in private industry and the conduct of private citizens to guarantee freedom. Also, watch ABC for about 10 minutes and was inundated with the word decorum when it comes to the Republicans. Well, what about Joe? Love the show. Thanks for watching the whole debacle last night so I could go to bed. You're welcome, Dan. I am a giver. Jay said, thanks for listening for me. He says, I can't stand listening to any politician. Tim said about caller Mike from the last hour, said, I always enjoy your verbal jousting with Mike. It enlightens us on the mindset of the left. Mike seems to have a little of that ooh-ah-wah thing old Joe has. Ooh-ah-wah? Well, I don't know what that means. Dan says your caller Mike sounded like the poster child for Lobam. Liberals against Bad Orange Man. All right, well, that would be Labom. Anyway, the only thing missing was a voice tag saying, I'm Joe Lunchbox, and I approve this magazine message. Sadly, Mike is part of the 90% of lawyers that give the other 10% a bad name.
Many of you in this chamber.
Oh, my goodness. Keith says, I hope you are well. A couple of questions for my own knowledge. If Biden gets in and then steps down, does Kamala Harris immediately assume the presidency? Yes, I believe she does. If so, who assumes the vice president position? That would be whomever she picks. I don't even think the Congress has a say in it. So I believe that's how that goes. On the caller mic, Pete says Rush would have called him a seminar caller. That's right. That's true. Jan says, Pete, I think I just heard you say that you're almost considering voting not only for a major party candidate, but for the scary orange man. It's true. It is true. This is something out of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. If this was television, I would ask you to blink twice if you're in trouble. Not sure how to verify that over the radio. Okay, I'm blinking. I'm not blinking twice. No, I'm not in trouble. I'm serious. I'm sitting there watching it last night, and it you know what it reminded me of was Biden's speech in Philadelphia. You know, the red speech or the red lighting speech, whatever I don't even know what they call it. But it was that same demonization. And look, Joe Biden, people on the left and in the media, but I repeat myself, have been selling this narrative that Joe Biden is just this, you know, old lovable grandpa. And he's not. Joe Biden has always been a jerk. Always. He's always been a jerk. He's been a liar. He's yelled at people, like trash talked to his constituents, right? He called one of his own supporters fat at a campaign stop when running for president. Look, fat, right? Literally said that to a guy. Called a college student a dog-faced pony soldier. I don't even know what she did to deserve that. Right? He has always been a plagiarizing, lying jerk. Okay. And so the gaslighting, right? This rebrand of Joe Biden, not as the hair sniffing, creepy old guy, but as the lovable uncle that takes showers with you, you know, when you're 12, that kind of guy. But this idea that he's the defender of democracy is so repugnant to me. After you listen to the way he demonizes half of the country. Donald Trump doesn't claim to be a defender of democracy, right? He never picks up that mantle. He never gaslights you like that, as far as I can tell, right? I mean, when asked, what does he say? Like, yeah, you know what? I might be dictator for a day. Yeah, that could happen. Like, he doesn't pretend to be not a dictator, right? I know with the left, they're going to lose their minds over that. But seriously, you gave that Philadelphia speech, bathed in the red lighting and the black banners and stuff behind you. I mean, the imagery is like right out of Nazi Germany, right out of it. While you're warning us about all the Nazis hiding in the shadows, like behind you, using the Marine Corps as props in your stage, right? And then he does it again from the well of the House at the State of the Union, and he demonizes and trash talks half of the country. And then he engages in this, quote, sparring. I've mentioned this AP article. I'll circle back to it. But, you know, they dressed the language up like, oh, he was defiant. He laced into them and he was reveling in the moment, right? It's all these happy words. He's attacking people at the State of the Union. And there's nobody there to throttle him back. At least with Trump, we would have it. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecalinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.